Hello. Good morning, everyone. My name is Aaron. I am 3 years older than my younger and much more famous brother, Moses. And I am exceedingly grateful for this invitation to speak. As you can imagine, Moses seems to get all the speaking engagements now. Yet to be totally honest, my new friends, I have wondered much about what I might say. Perhaps I am best known for several things, for being the mouthpiece of Moses before Pharaoh when we spoke for Yahweh and said, "Let my people go," for the making of the golden calf, and for being the high priest of my people for almost the entire time we wandered in the desert. Now, pondering as I have, I am still not sure. Wait. I think there is one event. No, not even that big. It's one conversation, one profound conversation that took place when I was alone with the desert breeze. Perhaps there are still things that we can learn about God and about ourselves from me, an old Jewish man who spent his life in Egypt in captivity and then wandering the desert with my people. I want you to join me on a short journey of discovery. Hopefully some self-discovery. Look about. The night. It slips away. Slowly the stars begin to dim as the darkness moves toward gray. Dawn comes to the Sinai. The night ends. Not my uncertainty. I cannot know for certain what the calf was about. I only know what I intended was something strong and certain as my brother's tablets. Both the stones and the calf lay broken now. It will be hot soon. In a little while, we are to drink the potion my brother has made from the dust of the golden calf. Moses, oh Moses, my brother. Why does he insist on this ordeal, this trial? What will it prove? Who's on the Lord's side will suffer no ill effects. That's what he says. But the false, the corrupt will die. So along with the others, I will take this cup from my brother's hand and drink it. And we will see which side I am on. But does anyone really have eyes to clearly see such things as sides? If all who falseness tainted were all gathered on one side, would there be any others for the other side? We are vulnerable. We are so vulnerable. Yet still we waste our days attempting to disguise our vulnerability. But when we deny it, we are most dangerous. Lashing out to defend that which cannot be defended, groping about to wrap ourselves in the illusion of our invulnerability. Probably that is partly what the golden calf was about. You see, my people were slaves in Egypt, and then we managed to escape to this wilderness. But we are certainly no safer here, just freer. And freedom has meant that we have to face just how vulnerable we are and how to come to terms with it and the fear of it. And let's face it, none of us does very well with that, do we? Funny. I do not have words to carry the load that I feel. Ironic, I think, given that I give voice to my stuttering brother's thoughts and his commands. But I keep trying for the words. Yeah, I keep trying. The connections, Moses, I plead. You have to see the connections. Please don't deny them. All things are connected. Creatures, people, life. It is all connected. It is created by God's own hand. So there are connections among things, among us, among all of us. Don't you see? You must not always be dividing and separating, Moses. My younger brother, this giant of a man, shrugs and says he does not understand. We are not connected to Egyptians who kept us in bondage, he shouts, nor the creatures of the plague. You speak so eloquently about nothing except diversions. Enough! Yahweh is a righteous God. We are his people and we must obey, or he will put us away from him. Let the offenders be cut off. We are not connected. Righteousness, discipline, obedience, these are our watchwords. What of praise, I ask? What of praise, Moses? Well, that too, he answers, but it's always with the wave of his hand, almost as an afterthought. Praise, I say again to my brother, praise does not have to issue from clean lips. And then at night, when I'm alone in the desert, I speak out loud, Yahweh, please, please, Yahweh, let it be that praise does not have to issue from clean lips or pure hearts. For I would praise you, and you know my uncleanness. Please do not turn my praise back upon me, for I will stagnate. In the rottenness of me, I will surely die. Sometimes Moses will argue, perhaps praise does not have to issue from clean lips, but I know lack of cleanness breeds corruption, deceitfulness, and death. We must have laws to protect our community, to govern our life, to keep us clean, or we will not survive in this desert nor conquer the promised land. People must choose, Aaron. They must choose. I wonder why he is so afraid of his tenderness, his compassion that he must keep hidden, even from himself. Perhaps he feels that it will kill him and us, his people. Still, I think Moses is largely right. Vice is not the only path, but it is often the easiest one to choose, or the most attractive, at first anyway. It is true, we need guidelines. We must be hard. Yet to be wise, one does not always choose between two things, but chooses to accept both. You see, my brother rages at his own fear and fears his own rage and then rejects them both, turning them into righteousness. So he misses the connectedness, the mystery of things. He sees sides, always two sides. So he forces things. Outwardly, he is intense, sure, strong, dominating. But inwardly, he lacks the freedom of the larger truth. And so he lacks as well a sense of peace, a feeling of joy. And I say, wait, Moses, stop. Look at the flowers. There is joy there, real, wondrous. Listen to the old woman who moves slowly and knows things. Enjoy the sweetness of the honey. Take off your shoes, Moses. Bushes are burning everywhere. Bushes are burning everywhere. But my brother smiles, plunges straight toward the target. Using his fingers, he counts as he recites the commandments. You shall not have any other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a graven image. And on he goes. So gently I suggest, Moses, my brother, one cannot get from sunrise to noon on the word not. A no moves nothing. No's stop things. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Not, 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 not. If that's it, everything stops. No is like a 10-day fast. It's good. Fasts are needed because they prepare us for something. No's prepare us for something too, Moses. But what? Surely there must be a yes at the heart of it somewhere to move our hearts. But Moses does not understand what I'm saying. He only sees what his laws and logic can do, which is much. But he cannot see what it misses, which is also much. So he simply shakes his head at me. I put my hand on his arm and I say, and praise, my brother. What about praise? He looks at me so sternly and says, to be righteous is to praise. And I nod and reply. But could it not also be that to praise is to be righteous? We know that life is cruel as well as endlessly ingenious and wondrous, don't we? We welcome being nurtured by this earth in whose rhythms our very hearts beat, the earth that entices us to unspeakable dreams. Yes, Yahweh is on the mountain. But Yahweh is also resident of here in the dust. Companion of us creatures here below, filling the space of us, and so somehow filling the space of himself. That's the mystery. And I say praise to that mysterious one we cannot name or know except beyond all knowing. To that one I sing and I dance. We all dance. Yes, yes, I made the golden calf, and I will drink the potion Moses made of the dust into which he smashed it. We will see who is on which side, if indeed the sides stay straight and do not braid. I suggested to Moses that he exercise mercy, but he would not hear of it. Yet surely mercy is what keeps us. Or Moses would never have been found in those bulrushes at the beginning, or escaped the consequences of murdering that Egyptian. Justice by itself would be a cold light. It needs compassion to be a warm light, a burning bush. Without compassion, we would not have escaped Egypt. Without mercy, we would be in bondage always, forever. I'm a fool. If I have learned anything, I have learned that I am a fool. Although I try to appear otherwise. Sometimes that knowledge, I think, makes me more gentle than Moses with other fools. Sometimes it makes me more gentle with myself than Moses is with himself. My heart aches for this brother I love. But if I have come to believe anything, it is that someone whose name we dare not speak is not a fool, however it may appear to us at times. Yes, I made the calf. The people wanted to worship, to celebrate. They were afraid, and their instinct was to turn their fear into worship. Their instinct was accurate, even if the shape I gave it was not, even if their interpretation of what I made was not. We all desperately want something to speak of the unspeakable, something visible to assure us of the invisible, something that might connect us with the mystery, the glory, the love behind it all, something to hint of God. So I took their gold and I melted it and I made a lump, a shape, whatever it was, no matter. All right, it was a calf. But I swear, the shape wasn't at all what mattered. What matters was that in the fire on those rocks, the shape danced. The calf danced. I swear the dance was what I saw. The dance is often what I see. The dance is what matters, not the calf, the dance. It is the swirl of creativity of God. I swear yesterday the calf danced. I saw it. That's why I called the gathering the feast of the Lord. When the calf dances, when anything dances, whether out of anger or fear or grief or joy, the Lord is in it. That calf danced, and the moon and the stars danced, and I danced, and the people danced. Everything danced. It was glorious. It was glorious. But was it idolatry? I don't know. Not to me. In the dance I saw the vitality, the ingenuity, the energy, the passion, the brashness of God. There is nothing profane in what I saw, nothing unclean or unworthy in that vitality, that creativity. Holiness of that dance may be most of the holiness I will ever know. And it is a holiness that you and I share, the creativity, the ecstasy of Yahweh. So I danced. Praise God. Praise God. I danced. Yes, I am a fool. Thank you, God. I go now to drink the potion. And we shall see what we shall see. Maybe part of the mystery is the caring of us all. All my brothers and sisters who will drink the potion with me and take Moses' test. We care so much that in all the struggle of our living and dying, we love and mourn each other. We scream and fight as if we hated each other. And we do sometimes. Sometimes we laugh together, and sometimes we spitefully reject one another. But underneath we know, at least some of us do, that all the loving and hating and laughing finally speak of our being undeniably, unchangeably connected. It is our caring, I suppose, that is so painful and maybe even harmful and yet beautiful about us. We count things and we wonder. We make laws and we laugh. We seek righteousness and we know we need mercy. It is all connected in us. We are all connected, you and I and Moses, all of us. And the connection is somehow, it is the caring, even if we insist we don't care. All the time we really are caring. Moses too, even for the Egyptian. I think that was why Moses balked about going back to lead us out. He knew it would mean bloodshed, and he cared even for the Egyptians. They were his people too. I think that's why he needed me to stand with him, to speak for him, to share the pain of the triumph. I was glad to be with him. I love him. Would that he would allow it. Would that I would. If we could only admit our caring to ourselves, to each other. If we could only see that the love, however faulty, is the yes in it all. If only Moses and I and all of us would not make something deadly of our differences. If we could just accept the differences as part of the connectedness. If only we could affirm the caring at our heart. The caring at the heart of it all. Oh, Moses, Moses. The dance is really about the caring, the yes. The dance is because the someone we dare not name is not a fool, whatever appearances may be. We dance in the palm of Yahweh's hand, even in this desert. And yes, even the Egyptians who danced in the shadow of death. I will drink that potion. Will I live through it? No matter. Before I lift the cup, I will say to my brother, we will see about sides and connectedness. I will look into his eyes and I will say, I do not believe the dance will ever stop. No is not the last word. Yes is. Yes is. My beloved Moses, only we could learn to dance together for the love of God. For the love of God, my brother, and for the love of one another. Amen and amen. I want to add a preacher's note that I know I wasn't going to do earlier, and I know I'm running long, but Frank A. Spina is a commentator, and right before Moses, Aaron has this conversation with himself and with God, Moses pleads with Yahweh on the mountain to not wipe out the entire nation of Israel. Now, as Aaron, I don't know that. But God changed his mind at the pleading of Moses. The commentator says this, the startling behavior on God's part was not a function of divine weakness, but of divine grace. In short, God's grace got the best of God's justifiable anger. This is part of a biblical pattern. Judgment is never God's final word. Yes is my words at the end. Amen.